Take your Bible in your hand and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. You know, and as you turn in Philippians chapter 1, I begin to talk about how good it is. And think about how good it is to be a Christian. And this little song came up in my mind. It's the good life. You know that song? You know, I thought, yes it is. It's a good life. And yet a lot of people don't seem to be living it very good. And I believe they believe in the same Christ that I believe. But they let circumstances determine whether their life is good or not. Circumstances that come against me, I alter that relationship or my relationship to that circumstance. Because it is a good life. Joy being saved. I've said it many times, I'm not saved enough to be miserable. I've seen some miserably saved people. And I thought, why? Because you see, they were reaching and grasping for something that they already have. Quit trying to become what you already are. Talk about a life of frustration. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus, the Anointed One. According to my earnest, which means hope there, expectation, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. That's a hope and assurance there. In nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always. Notice he doesn't change. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be by life or by death. Now this guy's a winner going somewhere to win. Then verse 21, well, I want to get to is a very little short scripture. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You may be seated. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So he says he can magnify God in the good times or the bad times, either in life or in death. It doesn't make any difference. Because the word of God is true no matter what you receive concerning it or what anybody says about it. Now let me do a little teaching this morning, a little explaining. I'll get to proclaiming after a while, which is a little preaching. But let me do a little teaching this morning. Now, it is a good life. I find so many people struggle with Christianity. You could call the title of this sermon, Christianity is the good life. Because it has a wonderful retirement plan. It really does. You live for eternity in a mansion. Paid for. Total access to the throne of the Most High God. Angels as your butlers and waiters. If you're the kind of person that like that kind of stuff. But you're standing in the glory of God Almighty. Now, what makes it good life here is conscience, which is inside of you. Write this down. The presence of Christ must fill your whole conscious existence, while communion with him should be the very breath of life. The presence of Christ must fill your whole conscious existence. See, that's what makes me and Kathy a giver. Because you see, the presence of Christ has filled my money, filled up my wallet. Because money is given to me for a purpose, a mission, an ending. You see, the presence of Christ must fill your whole conscious existence, while communion with him should be the very breath of life. Now, when you understand that, it is the good life. That doesn't mean I hadn't had trouble. That doesn't mean things don't go wrong. You know, a man that's never been sick don't really know what sickness means too much. I have walked in health just about all my life. See, and the whole conscience of Christ and my communion with him is the very breath of my being. People say, why you preach so much? Why do you into this God so much? No, you misunderstand. He's into me. He corrected me. You may have heard me say this. We were flying back from Moscow, had just finished preaching the gospel there in Moscow, and had a wonderful, glorious time. Never thinking in my life that I would be by Lenin's tomb or in Red Square and able to preach in Moscow. And as I was flying home, I said, Lord, you have taken me all over the world. And I was just rejoicing in that. And he interrupted me. He said, no, I haven't. You have taken me. He said, you went to Moscow for one reason, me, to proclaim my gospel. Now, you know how much money it takes to go to Moscow? Even on a commercial airline, it's a lot of money. The hotel, it's a lot, but it made no difference. What made us step up the plate to do that? Conscious existence and presence of Christ in us. Communion with him. We knew we would win somebody to Jesus. Is the good life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, how do you know that you were able to meet the expenses of that trip? How did you do that? Isaiah 26:3. Turn with me to it. Isaiah 26:3. I'm being a little slow this morning so you can get it down as I teach it. God says in Isaiah, or if you overseas, Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect. Oh Lord. Thou will keep him in perfect. That means matured peace or possession of adequate resource. Notice how it's done. Whose mind, which is the soul of man, is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Brother Jesse, you're not afraid to fly in those planes? No. Even when it gets bumpy, it don't make no difference to me. Why? Whoa! God keeps me in matured peace. Because my mind is stayed upon him instead of the circumstances that's around me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Read it again, Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose soul, the mind, will, and emotion of a man, that's the soul, is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. So the presence of Christ fills my whole conscious existence, and my communion with him is the very breath of my life. Do you see that? But I also know if I look around me, my inward man is being renewed, but my outward body is perishing. Kathy was concerned about that yesterday. I walked in and she was in the sunroom. And I don't know, I sat down in the sun. I very seldom go back there. And she back there all that. She liked to read her Bible and all that kind of stuff back there. So I just came walking out. I had on a t-shirt, a white t-shirt. Now when I wear white, my hair looked like a halo from God on my head. You know, I got some white hair, okay? And I had my pajamas on. And I don't like long pajamas, so I make Kathy cut the legs off. I like short pajamas. Just cut them off, you know. I don't like all that. So I come walking, I sat down, and she looked at me, hey. I said, hello. Now, I'm sitting across from her. Not close to her, across from her. And watch this. I know my inward man is renewed day by day, but I know I'm getting older because I'm a day older today than I was yesterday. And so are you. Amen. Amen. That don't really make that much difference, you know. As I walk by, she says, my God, look at your face. Look at your face. I said, what's wrong with my face? You need to be exfoliated bad. Do you think I worry about my face? You are living in a dream world. Now, our good friends, Holly and Michael John, they got that kind of business, you know, where they rip your face off and put a new one on you. And we also have some over here that if your body's not fine art, they just destroy what you got and give you a good artful body. You know, I didn't run to the mirror and went, oh, look at my face. I just looked at my face and said, it's a good life. Yeah, I don't care about that. But if I ever decide to, I'll let you know. If I ever have a facelift, everybody will know it. Because I am not embarrassed. Everybody say, where you going? Get something cut off. Get something sucked up and something tied behind my head. Most people will want to keep it private, like as if they can't tell the difference when you get back. Where's Helly? Where's Helly in here? Is Helly in here? Helly and, I don't know if you see her in here tonight. Jeremy's wife. She said they're back there. Helly cuts my hair. Now watch this. Y'all see this wrinkle right here? This is the line she uses to cut my hair. You know why it's always straight? She puts her scissor right in that crack. I think the Lord put it there for Helly.
All right.
So I wouldn't have hair like this, I guess. I don't care. It's the good life. My mind. I'm in perfect peace. I don't worry about those things. But I think you should take care of your face. If it bothers you, do something with it. I tell all the ladies, if you don't believe in makeup, please do. It'll make you look better. Not that you're ugly. You know, but as you get older, age will beat you, boy. Especially if you're white. Ain't nothing like ugly white people. I tell you. The white race can flat get ugly. It's a fact. Don't look around here. Keep your head straight. You black people are blessed. Black people don't age much. Thank God, black people don't age much. You know, they don't hardly ever get any cracks or crevices or something. Boy, but when they do, it's bad, son. They are far and few. But it doesn't make no difference. Why? It's the good life. I'm going to get a new body, so I ain't worried about it. You talk about a facelift? Wait till the Lord give me my new celestial body. Lord Jesus, I'm going to get an overhaul from the top to the bottom. For free. With no pain. Why? Well, how do you know? Well, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, the reason why my life's good, I have something in me called enthusiasm. I'm enthused about God. See what I'm saying? Even in the tough times. Because tough times don't last, tough people do. Enthusiasm is Christ. Enthusiasm in Christ begins with regeneration. How many people are born again? Then you should be enthused. People ought to get around you and just want to smile. Unless you look like a sad sack from somewhere. Carrying some burden that God told you to get rid of 40 years ago. People ought to get around you. Say, let me just hang around you. People are always writing my office. Say, I want to be his armor bearer. I'll just go with you. You ain't got to pay me nothing. Can I travel with you? Why? Why? Because of who? Yeah, I'm a happy person to be around with. I have enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, write it down. In Christ begins with regeneration. And then it is realized by faith and then sustained and increased by divine knowledge. Let me say it again. Enthusiasm in Christ begins with regeneration and it is realized by faith and then it's sustained and increased by divine knowledge. You see how that's done? That's not an enthusiasm. It's in Christ. I'm not in crisis. I'm in Christ. That doesn't mean I don't have crisis, but I don't let crisis control me. I like Christ to control me.
Yeah.
You see, so what happens is when I'm in Christ, then I can't be in anything else but one thing, which is Christ. And I realize that by faith, and then I sustain it and increase my divine knowledge of his word. So I have enthusiasm in my home life, in my public life, and in my church life. Me and Kathy have a good marriage. I told her that. I said, girl, I'm going to tell you, you are one smart cookie. She does some things. It's amazing to me. But I do have weaknesses in my life. Which she lets me know about quite often. Kathy likes to hold my hand. What for? She slow me down. Now come on, woman. She's even used Pastor David and Betty as an example. David holds Betty's hand. I said, yeah, because he eats all her popcorn. That's why. She's told me that. You, David, always hold Betty's hand. You walk around. You don't never hold my hand. It's not that I don't want to hold your hand. But you see, David and Betty look like the normal couple. But me and Kathy don't. Kathy looked 20 years older than me. 30 or 20 years younger. Excuse me. Did I say that wrong? Did you think I did that on purpose? I just want to see if y'all was listening. Kathy looks 20 years older than me.
No, younger.
That's what I said, younger than me. Kathy looks 20 years, or let's make it better, 30 years younger than me. Or let's say 20 years younger than me. I walk around holding Kathy's hand. You know, people say, look at that old sex pot, white-headed fool trying to be with that young woman. I had a stewardess one time on television, I'm getting all mixed up, on plane said, she thought my first wife died and I married Kathy. Am I telling the truth? She said, oh, y'all on your honeymoon? I said, no. Why would you say that? Oh, did your first wife die? True story, guys. I didn't used to comment on that. I said, no, I've been married to her at that time about, I think 30 years. She just couldn't believe it. Has she had any work? Oh, yeah, she had a lot of work. She's had a lot of work with me. She didn't have no work herself. You know, God's been good to Kathy. Why? Because of Jesse.
All right.
Jesse been good to Kathy. Do you understand that? I've been good to that woman.
That's right.
I've been very good to that woman. I ain't said I've been 100%, but close. But she want me to hold her hand. And then the minute I hold her hand, she holds it about maybe 3 seconds, then she kicks it away. Then she says, you're just doing it because I want you to do it. Yeah, I can't win with this. You're just doing it because I told you to do it. Why don't you just grab my hand? Bless God. When I don't ask you to grab it. Well, like the other day, I reached out. She go, what you doing? I said, I ain't doing nothing. I'm trying to grab your hand, woman. Back to explaining the word of God. Enthusiasm in Christ begins with regeneration. It's realized by faith. It's sustained and increased by divine knowledge. So we have enthusiasm in our home life, public life, and church life. Now, what makes us have that? Christ is our model. Write this down. A life in Christ means the example of Christ is its model. No, we have something to go by. The will of Christ is its laws. The glory of Christ is its end. So I have a model of Christ. I have the will of Christ as my directed law and the glory of Christ as my expected end. Do y'all see that? Is this good stuff or what? It's the good life. You see, the plan's already been set. All you got to do is walk it. All you got to do is walk it. Let me say it again. A life in Christ means the example of Christ is its model. That's who I pattern myself after. The will of Christ is my laws or its laws. What is God's will, Christ's will concerning me? And then the expected, I love this part, the glory of Christ is its end. So I have a great expectation of a glorious end. You see what I'm saying? Now, when you understand that, how do you do that, Brother Jesse? How do you believe the good life? Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Y'all enjoying this?
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 2. Look at this very phenomenal verse 20. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, which means I'm in the world. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Didn't I tell you a while ago we was in Christ? He is our model. Huh? His laws is our will. His glory is our expected end. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, notice this next statement. And the life which I now live in the flesh. I am in the flesh this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm physically in my body. Notice how I live it. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live by my faith. It isn't good enough. I'm increasing it daily by hearing the word of God. But while it's increasing, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. That's why I believe not only in needs, but desires and wants. That's his will for me. That's his faith. His faith says, I will give you not only your need, but I will give you your desire and I will give you your want. That's the faith of the Son of God. I will heal you and you can stay healed all the days of your life. With long life, would I satisfy you and show you my soundness. That's in the book of Psalms. That's the faith of the Son of God. You want to know what the faith of the Son of God is? You got a problem, you can walk on the water. Lord Jesus, do you understand what I'm saying? You can call those things that be not as though. You're not imitating Abraham. You are imitating Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the faith of the Son of God. It's a good life. So my, why your faith is developing, use his. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. This is Paul. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified, Jesse, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? Why would you die? Who loved me? Gave himself for me. I can preach 5 hours right there. But I want to go to the next verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't frustrate myself, much less frustrate the Lord. I don't frustrate his grace. Why? Why should I? I'm living by his faith in this present body. Mm-mm. See, if you don't understand grace, write it down. Then the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus is of no effect to you. See, you got to understand grace. Because grace helps you to understand the incarnation, the virgin birth, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus Christ, the burial, the resurrection, the raising up, the ascension, the going to the throne to pour his blood upon the holies of holies. So if you don't understand grace, then the incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ has no effect on you. You know why I don't frustrate the grace of God? You know why I don't do that? Why don't I do that? Because I understand grace, God's unmerited favor. He did it all for me. It's the good life. That doesn't mean I don't have trouble. That doesn't mean the devil doesn't fight me, but I certainly don't fight him.
Right.
He's a defeated foe. Talk about a waste of spiritual energy is to fight somebody that's already been whipped. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look what Psalms 132 verse 16 says, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, which means soundness, and her saints, that's us, shall shout aloud for joy or for strength. Have you shouted lately for strength aloud? It's a good life. Now, most of the time that Paul wrote these things or David wrote these things, they were either running from a devil or in jail somewhere. Because they had altered the circumstances or the relationship of the circumstances where they were. My God. Psalms 132, 16. I will also clothe her priest with salvation. That's me. And her saints, that's you, shall shout aloud for strength. My God, my God. That's enthusiasm. In Christ begins with regeneration. That's all we tell you to get born again. Then it's realized by faith and sustained and increased by divine knowledge. Knowledge of what? And not how the world operates, how God operates in the world. Do you see that? That's what I mean. It's a good life. And when you understand it, then you don't frustrate the grace of why? Because frustrate the grace of God simply because it's not you that liveth, but Christ liveth in you. And then the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. Who loved you? Gave himself for you. So you don't frustrate that grace. Yeah. Makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? Now, and then I told you that the life of Christ means the example of Christ as its model. You know, people say, how do you live like that? My Lord, we got a wonderful model. His name is Jesus. And the will of Christ. What is the will of Christ? To do the will of God. What's the will of God? You want it simple? To take the dominion that he gave you over all the works of his hands. That is summed up in one simple sentence. Adam, I give you dominion over all the works of my hand. So be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. That's it. I just gave you the whole theological, homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical Christianity debate in that sentence. What's the will of Christ? The will of God. He said, I came that you might know who? The Father. So don't get mad at me if I subdue poverty. Or I subdue sickness. You know, let me get back to this point a while ago. I hardly have ever been sick. Now, I have a friend, Joe Appadone. Is Joe in here somewhere? I don't know if I see Joe somewhere. He's somewhere. Where's Joe? Joe, lift your hand up. Joe, stand up so everybody see Joe. Okay, Joe. Joe's been working for me for quite a few years. Okay, Joe, you can sit down. I want to make sure everybody saw you. Watch this. Watch this. Well, one time we was in evangelism, when he was in evangelism, and everybody was talking about kidney stones. Some kind of, they said that for a man, that's probably the worst pain anybody can ever have, that it's worse than having a baby. Now, men don't know what having a baby is, but we know it hurts. Either that or you women are faking it real good, one or the other. So evidently it does hurt. Okay. But they say a kidney stone worse than anything. Now, why? That doesn't mean I haven't been attacked in life. But when you've never been sick, you don't know what sick feels like. Well, I got up one morning. And my stomach was hard, right here. And I felt like I had gas locked up inside my stomach. And it wasn't going nowhere. I just felt bloated, I guess you could say. Just, I thought, what is this? All of a sudden, something will start to move. Well, when I pray, I like to know what I'm praying about. That's why I believe in doctors and hospitals. It ain't nothing you can't change with your faith. Go find out what's happening. So you know how to pray. Right? Makes sense. Now, all of a sudden whoa, what is this? Devil, I bind you in the name of you. He said, bind me over what? I don't know. I didn't know what it was. Because if you've never been sick, you don't know what sick feel like. But you know what? I really believe that I was privy to that conversation. Well, something started moving. Like something would move. First, I thought it was like gas, man. So I got some of that, what they call gas X. That didn't work. Nothing against gas X. I mean, not against. I thought, because I didn't have gas. I just had this pressure. So I'm trying to make myself burp. No, you learn to do that when you're a kid. How many of y'all did that when you were a kid? You didn't think that's something to burp. Or one of these, you know. Yeah, children love that for some reason or another. I mean, even hold your hand. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. It's called life. It's just part of it. So funny. If your kids are going crazy, I don't care if they're 18 years old, just do this. And they'll bust out laughing. It's over with. You can change the temperature just like that. And Joe Appadone came to my mind because Joe has had some problem with kidney stones. I said, that's what Joe Appadone was talking about. That's what that is. So I said, kidney stone. Boy, and it was moving. I mean, hurting like you cutting me with a knife. Worse than that. That's all I can say. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Do you understand? I didn't deny the pain. I just took on the model of Christ. Because I'm pretty sure those lashes were hurting him. Now, those lashes were for a purpose. But this was not for no purpose other than to aggravate God and aggravate me. Because by his stripes, I am healed. So I bind it. And the devil said, how do you feel? I said, I'm not moved by how I feel. Now all of a sudden, the will of God, the laws of the spirit begin to come. I'm not moved by how I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. Boy, and it got bigger. I don't care what you say. You can scream, you can holler, you can hurt you. I don't care what you say. I am not moved by this. And you know what happened? I moved it instead of it moving me. Do you see what I'm saying? But the violent take it by force. This is a good lie. Save me a bunch of money. And a bunch of probing. I mean, the doctor's always looking for some place they can put their hand on you. Nothing against doctors. We got doctors. I believe in doctors. But what I'm saying was, wait a minute. And it was screaming loud. But I can scream louder. It lasted about 35, 40 minutes. Smith Wigglesworth had the same problem that lasted for 3.5 years. People getting healed, feet coming off of people that had their feet cut off. And he'd go back and God, he just double over in pain, pass blood. Now, I am nowhere near the apostle of faith that Smith Wigglesworth was. But see, I was born in a different generation. God said he'd do a quick work. Took him 3.5 years. Took me 35 minutes. Ought to take you 3 minutes and your children 3 seconds. Somebody shout somebody. See my point? So when it would hurt more, I hollered more. Not at that. Not at the pain. I'm not moved by that. I didn't deny it. I don't live in denial. Some people think that's a river in Egypt. No, that's not river. That's the Nile River. That's not the river. I didn't deny it. I just deny it's right. You see my point? This is my body. This is my body. Now, the reason why I say what God said, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your service for Jesus' sake. I don't preach myself, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus said, by his stripes I am. Well, supposing you'd have died. Okay, supposing I'd have died. I would magnify him in life and in death. I just read you that at the text of my scripture. God got you covered any way you look, any way you go. He said, I'll magnify God in my life and in my death. My God. Glory to God. See, this thing is between apostolic teaching and apostolic conduct. There is a vast difference. Some people do apostolic teaching, but they don't have apostolic conduct. They tell you to live holy and they live like a sinner from hell till they get behind the pulpit. You got no difference between apostolic teaching and apostolic conduct. They should be one and the same. Amen. See, you can't separate yourself from your word. Amen. Are you hearing me? It's the good life. Why is Jesse so happy? It's a good life. That doesn't mean I hadn't been attacked. But the attacks are far and fewer. And if Jesus tarries, Kathy, I may have a problem dying. Kathy said, I got to live to at least 123. I said, why? Well, the Bible said he gave us 120 years, and I'm 3 years younger than you are, and you're going to have to go past me. Then we'll just go together. She's controlled me from the first day I ever met her. 123. Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, you have no choice in the matter. I said, okay. See, she didn't preach herself. She preached Christ. Christ said, you've got that promise. But I want it my way. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. I don't want to be an old man that can't walk. I don't want to be an old man that can't think. I want to be an older man that can drive a car, fly a plane, and still be a man. You know what I mean? More men catch that quick, don't they? Women go,
what did he say?
I don't want to have to use Levitra, Cialis. What's that other stuff I can't call the name of? Viagra? Look at the women, they're going. Is that shocking you? Look at all the men. They got real quiet. Yeah, tell us some more about this. I want to be me completely.
Amen.
And whatever that dictates. Whatever God wants. In other words, he gave me a body. It should function. How do you know that? How do you know how you can say that? Psalm 73, verse 28. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. That's Psalm 73, verse 28. I want to be a modern day Abraham. Well, I own a lot of land. Why can't I have a baby at 100? I'm not saying I want one. I said, why can't I have a baby? Why can't we? You know, I didn't say I want one. I said, why can't we? I want to be able to do whatever I need to do when I want to do it. Whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, whatever that might mean. What's wrong with that? Oh, that's stupid. Well, we'll see. I'll visit you at the old folks' home. I'll visit you at your assisted living. It's a good life. Because see, it makes no difference whether you live or die, you magnify God. That's what Paul was saying. See, then we got to get this in our head, see? Why? In your mind. So you can get rid of that soul poverty and get to that spirit prosperity. See, the only way to know that it's a good life is to be fully acquainted with Jesus' rank, his character, his plans, and how his relationship was between him and his father. Let me say it again. The only way for you to understand it's the good life is to become fully acquainted with Jesus' rank, Son of God, his character, Holy One, his plans, I'm coming to get you, and how him and his father talked to each other. It was an amazing thing. You talk about a father-son relationship. If you want to know how to treat your boy, or treat your daughter, or treat your kids, go do this. Do a great study on the relationship between Jesus and his father. As he, the Son of Man, speaking to God Almighty. They had a great relationship. It wasn't a struggle with him. See, Jesus did apostolic teaching and lived apostolic conduct. And you know, they're still trying to destroy it today. They just want to make Mary Magdalene his woman. They just got to do, and they're supposed to be educated. They have become stupid. Do you know how many, let me help all you people. Do you know how many thousands of years people have tried to destroy Jesus' reputation? I don't care about your scientific thing. I don't care if you found an ossuary with somebody named Jesus on it. You know how many people were named Jesus in Jesus' day? About the same amount of people. Do you know how many people named Jesse in Jesse's day? Come on, let the elevator go to the top, huh? You want to find his bones so you can say he didn't resurrect. And you want to say it very intellectual as a secular progressive. You see, that's why you want the bones. Because then you can say, well, I've always believed in the historical Jesus, but I don't know if I can believe in the, quote, the spiritual Jesus. Well, because you're spiritually dead, you can't. You're looking for bones. He's alive, fool. He's alive. Oh, but hey, if you want to match wits, we can match wits. I can be secular progressive myself. But good Lord, what good would that do? Because after we get past your brain and my brain, what do we do now? We need to go past that. We got to go past physical knowledge. That's why they say science is always changing. They swear them down. This way they go. But that's the way it was. You know, but you know, I'm not being critical of that because it's the same way spiritually. God gives you a revelation, but as you grow in the knowledge of the truth, you get more light. So you can express it better and understand it greater. Y'all enjoying this?
Amen.
It's the good life. Lord Jesus. So when you understand that, you don't frustrate the grace of God. So Psalm 73:28, let me read it again. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. See, I'm in the declaring business. I'm in the declaration business. Declare the works of the Lord. In actuality, I don't have to see God do something because I'm not moved by what I see or by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe in. But the people I'm preaching to need to see God do something. We have to declare some things to them. We're declarers. We are a declaration of independence. See? Yeah, we are. So that's my whole point. We have great power if we would just use it. I said this the other day, I'll say it again. If you don't think you got power, you changed the time the other day. You just decided to change the time. You said, I think we're going to lose an hour. The whole world got up and said, okay. And then you're going to change it back in November. You're just going to get up one day and say, you know, I am going to get an extra hour of sleep. And everybody going to believe with you. And guess what? You're going to get it. Isn't that amazing? Just decided to do it. That's why I like a good doctor that believes in God. That if I'm having something done in my physical body, I like hands laid on me, anointed hands. And if he puts me to sleep, or she, whoever it is, I know what they're doing. I can trust them. That's why I believe in Dr. Thompson. We got some good doctors here. He's a good doctor. Glory to God. Where's Steve? Steve Deloach. He in here somewhere? Steve's a great doctor. He's working all the time. He works hard, but he's a good doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We need some good lawyers. Do we have any good lawyers? Yes, we do. We got some good lawyers. We really do. We only hear about the bad, but you know we got some good preachers. Yes, we do. Well, we lost a few of you right there. I could tell that. Lord, here. We have good greeters in this church. What would you do if you came to the back and I closed with this and the greeters were waiting? You know, they all dressed up, looking nice. You come walking in, you're late. As a matter of fact, your watch don't work. But you got a fake Rolex? I'll give you a real Timex if you need one. You're late. What would you do when they pass for the bucket? And the usher goes, that's all you got? Can you live on this? What's your problem? You know why that doesn't happen? Because we got good greeters. We got good ushers. We got good security people. Because they can kill you. They packing. You know what I mean by packing? They ain't packing to go somewhere. I'm talking about putting clothes on here or in a suitcase. They're packing. Which means this. Jesus. Boom. Raise him from the dead, Lord. You know. They're trained. Mitch is trained, boy. He's nice. Don't make him mad. He's trained, boy. I mean, he's a whip. CeCe, look how he smiles. Oh, CeCe Ryder. He'll ride you right out of here. I like that. That's good. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Train. It's a good life. You part of this church? We're going to take your bad and turn it into good. Amen. You understand that? We're not here to judge you. We're here to make you grow. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Just hang with us. What, do we do everything right? No. You know why? Because you're here. Because I'm here. We're all imperfect. I told my daddy one time. I said, Dad, I won't be dead like Jesus, Daddy. He said, they killed him, boy. Yeah, I never thought about it like that. Yeah, oh, geez, man, I mean, I shouldn't do that. Hallelujah. It's a good life. So I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a good day. Why? I'll create it. I'll say this in close, my last closing. Oh, yeah. That's why I got him on the front bench. Yeah, I like that. Used to have Ron and P up at the front, but they kind of graduated to the back. Where's Ron and P? They in here? I don't know. They may be doing something. I don't want y'all backsliding on me now. Y'all got to come up. I give them all. I love round of blessings. It's the good life.
Yeah.
I create my own economy. You what? Oh, yeah. I create my own economy by my giving. Because I don't live by your giving. I live by mine.
Amen.
I create my economy. I'm the architect of my life. Ah, it's the good life. Stand to your feet. I could go on for 6 hours. I got to shut up. Lord Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the good life. But a lot of bad things happen. But you can change bad to good. You really can. And you should. And you shall. We've had some people leave this church. Not because they're mad at us, they moved. You know, we ain't get mad at them. We pray every day that they, where they go, they be blessed.
Amen.
We'll always be friends. We'll always be friends. We've had some people leave because they couldn't handle what we say. Because we talked about the spirit of faith. See, they want to stay a tadpole, we want to become a whale. But even as a tadpole, we'll slap a whale. Don't mess with us. And they don't understand that. They think that's arrogance, cockiness, and it's not. It's assurance and confidence. We do an offering teaching for one reason only, so you can be blessed, not so we can get more. We know how to make seed germinate. That's pretty simple. See what I'm saying? So we do things here that's really out of the ordinary. You come to our picnic, it don't cost you nothing. You go to most other ones, you're going to have to pay a amount of money to get in there. Plus bring something. You come to our Halloween night, it don't cost you nothing. We put up things in the church and don't raise an offering for you to pay for it because we just want to bless you.
Yeah.
Are you bragging on? Mm-hmm. See, God is our model. People of all nationality, color, and creed. Look around here. This is the way heaven looks like. No one prejudice here. Not here. We respect men and we respect women. Why? Because we'll never get fired. Because we don't say cruel and harsh things. We say what the Lord says.
Amen.
And we may disagree with some people, but we don't call them up and give them a death threat. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We can disagree, but we're not disagreeable. We protect your children. We want your youth to prosper, flower. But we also know what it is to be 14 and 15. And that ain't easy. That may not be good English, but you know what I'm talking about. I want your children to grow up and be responsible. We don't want to have to bring in the sheriff and the police and the district attorney, which are good men, good women, don't misunderstand me, to scare our children into living clean. We want our kids to think correctly so they'd be responsible because they may be a president of the United States. That sure would be nice. See, we teach them what to say. We want to teach them social graces. Hey, he's only 7 year old boy. We tell him, teach him to open the door for the girl.
Amen.
And never have to call her a despicable name.
Amen.
But we also give him freedom. But if we give him something better than what the world's giving him, they'll stay with us. And they can change the world. It's the good life. Take the person's hand next to you. Heavenly Father, I ask you to save people that are not saved, bring people back that are not living where they should, and to heal people that are having physical problems. Lord, you just told me to tell them to meditate and concentrate on what I said, that it is the good life. You gave us armor when we needed to go to war, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. You gave us the name of your son Jesus as power of attorney if Satan would try to attack. You told us to use faith because it's impossible to please you unless we do in Hebrews. You gave us faith so we could not only get our needs done, but let you bless us as a parent to the children wanting to bless the kids. You've been so good to us, Lord. You've protected us in the midst of great destruction in 2005 here. Not that we're better than anybody else, we wasn't. Oh, but Lord, we declared your works. We had a chance to doubt. We had a chance to fear, but we refused it. And you honored us. And everything here is can be rebuilt. That is not the issue. The issue is to stand in the midst of the worst. That's a slap against the devil. So Father, touch people here and help them. Bless them physically, spiritually, financially. Lord, we receive them into our family. Now lift your hands up as an act of faith as I pray this prayer. We receive those that may not know you into our family. The family of God. We don't care what color, nationality, creed, sex, what they are. We receive them. That they can be at home here. We ask you to bless them. Let us be the brother and the sister that we should be. Because we are our brother's keeper. Let us be that, Lord. Let people see the gospel in our lives. The good news. Lord, bless all our people here that call this place your home and all those that are watching today all over the world. Bless them, Lord. Can I say this, Lord? Bless them for my sake. Bless them like you've blessed me. You've blessed me with wealth. You've blessed me with health. You've blessed me, God. Bless these people here. Honor them. Let them know that we speak honor here. That we're against no one other than the devil. Bless them, Lord. Let their dreams come to pass. Let this church and my ministry be known as a testimony station where people come and declare and magnify the works of the Lord. Lord, there are some that are now in heaven that came here. They magnified you in death as well as in their life. We have evidence of that fact. And I thank you. We had them for a while. You now have them. Boy, you got a good person there, Lord. And we will never forget, because our hearts are right. So thank you for touching people. Let testimonies come into the church office this week. Testimonies in the JDM offices. Europe, Australia, yeah. Worldwide.
Yeah.
Let favor be granted to our people here. But we pray for the other churches that let favor be granted. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a standing ovation. It's a good life.